Good evening, everybody, and very warm welcome to our first communion of Christmas. And we want to say a special word of welcome to those who've made it home for a few days, and welcome to those who are unable to come, who will be joining us from afar, and those who will be joining us in their homes, in the parish, and indeed across the globe, across the miles, tomorrow when the service will be available for people to watch who weren't able to come this evening. But we hope that as we come together for this very special service, we will be able to worship together and have a real sense of our Saviour's presence with us. Just wanted to remind people as well that on Friday morning at 10 o'clock, there will be a celebration of Christmas here in church at 10 o'clock on Friday morning, and on Sunday morning at 11, there will be a service of Holy Communion. There's no evening service on Sunday. So as we come together to worship and to share this special service together, I'm going to just encourage everybody, as we have been doing in recent weeks, to take the words of our carols and hymns and readings to your heart as we sit and we listen to our first hymn, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." Our service this evening, the service of Holy Communion. We pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in response to God's forgiveness and his mercy, we hear the hymn Gloria, Gloria.
We worship you.
our special collect prayer for this evening as we celebrate the Nativity of our Lord. Eternal God, who made this most holy night to shine with the brightness of your one true light, bring us, who have known the revelation of that light on earth, to see the radiance of your heavenly glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our epistle reading this evening is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Here ends our epistle reading. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. John in the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And we pause to reflect on the words of our next hymn, In the Bleak Midwinter. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is lovely to be able to welcome everyone this evening to the First Communion of Christmas 2020, a year like none of us probably can ever remember. It's lovely to have people here with us in the building, and it's also lovely to have people joining us in their homes all around the parish, across the city, and indeed around the world through the marvels of technology. During the season of Advent, we did a little series here in church, I know, which many people will be aware of, and we called it Lockdown Heroes on Thursday nights during December. And during that little series, I invited three people who had helped me spiritually during lockdown to share why faith or why Christmas was important to them. And when I think of lockdown heroes, I think for most of us here in church, our technology team have been the unsung heroes of church life in 2020. I think too of those who've maintained our website and our Facebook page and posted the services to our dial-in service each week. And only this past week, I spoke to some people who were facing surgery, who were looking forward to being able to tune in when they were discharged and they felt a little bit better, and being able to catch up on what they had missed in hospital, as the services have been a comfort and an anchor in these troubled times. I suppose in many respects, tonight's service is so different to what we are used to on this night. Church is normally packed. The choir have rehearsed, and they lead our worship with such warmth and meaning. And we all come together with thankful hearts to receive at the Lord's table. And certainly this evening, while some things will be very different in how our service unfolds, some things will remain the same. We might not be able to sing if we're here in church. I know those at home will be given those carols plenty, but we will be hearing congregational versions of our wonderful carols. We mightn't be able to hug each other as we normally do at this time of the year, and we have to sit at a distance from each other. But God's love continues to bind and to hold us together. Tonight is a night when we celebrate the light of Christ coming into the darkness. And so for a few moments, I wanted to think about a verse from our gospel reading this evening, where John the Baptist was described as a witness who came to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, and the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. As we come here this evening, I think 2020 is a year in which so many of our congregation and so many people around the globe have become profoundly aware of the darkness. We've become aware of the deep loneliness that so many people are experiencing at this time as they continue to shield and to avoid contact with others. And we're aware too of the profound disappointment experienced by many who are unable to travel home because of the restrictions. And we're also thinking tonight of the most vulnerable, the elderly and those with underlying medical conditions. And of course, those who have experienced and endured the pain of bereavement and loss in this past year. We've also become, I think, increasingly aware of the heavy burden of exhaustion carried by our frontline workers in the health service, in retail and delivery and education. And we're also very mindful of the darkness of mental health problems, anxiety, depression, the loss of employment and the financial worries and pressures that accompany these situations. I think we're weary too of the wrangling and politicizing of government decisions, the hostile debates and the lack of unity in the world as we prepare for many changes in 2021, including exiting the European Union and the inauguration of a new American president. And I suppose in all those things that I've mentioned, that is the darkness that we're all aware of. But I believe that the first step to overcoming the darkness is to expose it to the light of Jesus Christ. And that is where you and I come in. That's where the Church of Jesus Christ is called to rise up and to be counted. Because as John instructs us, we're called to do three simple but very challenging things in the midst of darkness. First of all, we're called to be people who expose the darkness. We're called to speak up for those who have no voice, for those who are often forgotten in the global scramble for survival. We're sometimes called to speak up for the homeless and the isolated, those who have been discarded and maybe feel expendable in the midst of all the challenges the world is facing. And at a time of challenge for our economy, the aid agency Tear Fund have been urging us to contact the government and to protect our overseas aid budget. And that budget is so vitally important to those who are much more poorly equipped to deal with this crisis than we are. So we are called to be a people who expose the darkness. But we're also called to walk in the light. And when I think about walking in the light, to me, it's about opening our hearts and our minds to the light and the love of Jesus Christ. It's about allowing his teaching and his words to impact our words and our daily living. And that involves things like reading and meditating on the scriptures. It involves prayer. And it involves ultimately surrendering our lives to him, so that we can walk in his light. Lastly, I think it involves reflecting his light to those around us. So as his love touches you, touch others with it. And you know, I absolutely love the way people have been so committed and enthusiastic in doing this in the past year. People have been phoning one another and praying for each other. People have been so incredibly generous with their time and their resources. Only weeks before Christmas, a parishioner gave me funds from an office fundraiser to buy heating oil for those who are not so well off at this time of year. I know so many people in our parish have volunteered with agencies and charities, and there is such an incredible team of people who have been cleaning the church and stewarding and keeping us safe as we have returned to worship together. So can I say thank you to you all for being incredible in this most difficult year. People have done such beautiful things, from making soup or food for others, collecting groceries and prescriptions, to playing services down the phone to those unable to access them for themselves. So as we think of this charge of John the Baptist, let's remember these three principles. Expose the darkness, walk in the light, and reflect the light and love of Christ as we enter a new year. And while the present time may feel shrouded with darkness, we are confident that better things lie ahead for us with the development of the vaccine. And as we take that hope into the horizon of the new year, may I take this opportunity just to wish each and every person here, every person who will be joining us on the telephone or on their computers tomorrow, may I take this opportunity to wish everybody a peaceful Christmas and God's blessing in your lives going into the future as we seek to be a blessing and to make Jesus known together. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. So we pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. And at a time when many churches have to perhaps close or go online, and many people have to isolate, we pray that everywhere throughout the world, your holy presence would bring light and hope to those around our world in this season of Christmas. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And today we pray especially for our own nation of the United Kingdom, and we pray especially for the situation in Dover and all ports of the United Kingdom. We pray for all the lorry drivers who are stranded at ferry ports from around the world. We pray for a rapid testing process that will enable people to get home safely at a very difficult and anxious and stressful time. And we give thanks today for the many acts of kindness and mercy that those drivers have been experiencing in those local communities. So we pray for them tonight. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray for all who are separated from loved ones because of the current situation, unable to travel and having to do things very differently. We pray for those who are ill at home or in hospital. And we pray especially for all who have lost loved ones during this difficult year. And in the quietness, let's just bring before God those who are especially on our hearts and in our minds as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross, and so we meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And we're going to pause again to reflect on the words of our next hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace one in Christ our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words." The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. For those who haven't been in church since our return after the series of lockdowns, when we celebrate Holy Communion will be brought to you in your seat. And it will be just in the form of bread only. The guidance is that only the celebrant would take bread and wine, and then communion would be distributed in one kind only. If you would rather not receive Holy Communion when I come to your seat, just indicate to me by a shake of your head or your hands that you don't wish to receive. But as we prepare to receive spiritually the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, remember that he gave his body for you and his blood he shed for you. Remember that he died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. God our Father, in this night you have made known to us again the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Confirm our faith and fix our eyes on him until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, rises in our hearts. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And at this point, we're going to light the central candle in our Advent wreath. As we have lit the candles in our Advent wreath, we remember all the preparations which God our Father made for the coming of his Son into the world. Our first candle reminded us of Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David, who all looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Our second candle reminded us of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, who told of the coming Messiah. Our third candle reminded us of John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for the Lord. Our fourth candle reminded us of Mary, who was obedient and became the mother of Jesus. And today, as we celebrate the first communion of Christmas, on this special day, we light the last candle, the central candle, and we rejoice together because Christ, the light of the world, has come. Amen. May the joy of the angels, the wonder of the shepherds, and the peace of the Christ child fill your hearts this Christmas time. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you and those whom you love this night and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn reflects that joy that is felt across the world. Hark, the herald angels sing.